If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, Seth takes a closer look at President Trump's remarks about the Civil War. Then, he chats with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow about the current state of politics. Now, let's get to the show.
The last few days of Donald Trump's presidency have been very revealing. He has, among other things, feuded with the press, admitted that being president is harder than he thought, praised authoritarian rulers, and made bizarre comments about the Civil War. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. As you may recall, Trump's positions on most issues during the campaign weren't all that clear. But there was one thing he was very clear about, and that was that being president would be easy.
We're going to make America great again. It's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. It's going to be easy.
Believe me, the jobs are coming back, folks. That's going to be so easy.
You're going to have such great health care at a tiny fraction of the cost, and it's going to be so easy.
And they don't understand it. They said, but how do you get them to pay? I said, it's so easy, and you understand. Just rely on me, okay? Rely. So easy. That's so easy.
People who are actually reliable don't have to say the words, rely on me. If you ask your buddy to pick you up from the airport and he says, rely on me, get ready for dinner at Cinnabon. Of course, the story of the first 100 days has been Trump's childlike naivete colliding with reality. In fact, Trump has, without shame, admitted that basic aspects of the job have turned out to be harder than he thought, like health care or China's relationship with North Korea.
It's an unbelievably complex subject. Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Mr. Trump said he told his Chinese counterpart he believed Beijing could easily take care of the North Korea threat. Mr. Xi then explained the history of China and Korea. Mr. Trump said, and I'm quoting the president here, after listening for 10 minutes, I realized it's not so easy.
The president is literally being tutored by foreign leaders.
And after he taught me about the history of China and North Korea, he helped me with my math homework, which was very...
And while he's at it, maybe President Xi could give Trump an American history lesson, too, because today, when Trump was asked about his supposed model for the presidency, Andrew Jackson, he went on a bizarre tangent about the Civil War and Jackson, who died 16 years before the war started.
I mean, had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, Civil War.
Yeah.
You think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
Yeah. People don't ask that question. No one ever asked why was there the Civil War. And who can forget those searing letters from soldiers on the battlefield? Dearest Elizabeth, I write to you from the front lines where the Civil War rages on for whatever reason. Today I bayoneted my own brother. For what purpose? He cried out. And I, of course, could only respond, I do not know. Nobody knows. General Grant informed us today we will be marching on to Gettysburg. Why? What's there? I asked. He shrugged, confused. Who knows? He said. and cited the famous words of our current president, Andrew Jackson, there's no reason for this. So, Trump clearly does not have a firm grasp on the basic aspects of being president, let alone basic facts about American history. And now he's essentially admitting that he's in over his head, telling a reporter that he didn't expect the job of president to be this hard.
I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of a, I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life. I like to work, so that's not a problem. But this is actually more work.
You thought the presidency would be easier than being a game show host? There's a reason Abraham Lincoln is on the five instead of Alex Trebek. Although I have to say, that this is the most absurd part of Trump's answer.
I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that.
No. I would not say that. No one thinks details are your strong suit. And I'm not even talking about the little details. I'm talking about things like, why did the Civil War happen? Or, you know, which country did I just bomb?
We've just launched 59 missiles heading to Iraq.
Well, you headed to Syria?
Yes, heading toward Syria.
Yes, yes, Syria. But, you know, Iraq, spoiler alert.
Now, you might think a president as unqualified as Trump would show some humility. Instead, he spent the last few days, as usual, attacking the media. Today, he abruptly ended an interview with CBS's John Dickerson after once again making his baseless claim that then-President Obama had him surveilled, but refusing to provide any evidence. All Dickerson did was try to get Trump to explain what his own words meant, but Trump was not having it.
You saw what happened with surveillance, and I think that was inappropriate.
What does that mean, sir?
You can figure that out yourself.
Well, the reason I asked is you said you called him sick and bad.
Look, you can figure it out yourself.
But you stand by that claim about him?
I don't stand by anything. I just, you can take it the way you want.
But I'm asking you, because you don't want it to be fake news. I want to hear it from President Trump.
Me. You don't have to ask me.
Why not?
Because I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinions.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the President of the United States.
It's enough. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, dramatic exits are definitely less dramatic when you stay in the same room and just sit down. You can't fire me, I quit. Maybe Trump is just frustrated by the fact that despite his many promises, he has very little to show for his first 100 days. In fact, his only real accomplishment seems to be turning the Oval Office into something of a man cave. A reporter for the Financial Times relayed this anecdote from a recent interview with Trump. Sitting across from Donald Trump in the Oval Office, my eyes are drawn to a little red button on a box that sits on his desk. This isn't the nuclear button, is it? I joke, pointing. No, no, everyone thinks it is, Trump says on cue, before leaning over and pressing it to order some Cokes. Everyone does get a little nervous when I press that button.
No, 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 that's not the nuclear button. The nuclear button is right next to it. It's also small and red, but I remember which one it is because it's on the right, and I have the right to use nuclear weapons. Of course, I also have the right to have a Coke in the middle of the day because I'm the president, and I don't have to worry about the sugar because I have the best dentist. I mean, this guy, he's amazing, and he's right about everything, which is why I keep a right button to the right of my Coke button that calls my dentist. Do you want me to call him right now?
So Trump doesn't seem to have much knowledge of or interest in things like governing or American history, but there's one thing Trump is very interested in, and that's his own electoral victory. Because when Trump called reporters into the Oval Office to discuss the accomplishments of his first 100 days, the only actual accomplishment he had to offer was the act of becoming president, an accomplishment he bragged about in the middle of a conversation about Chinese President Xi Jinping.
We were talking, as I mentioned earlier, about President Xi and that relationship. And then he sort of interrupted himself and handed out this map of the Electoral College and said that these were the latest figures of the areas in the country that he had won in 2016. And there were three of us in the interview, as I said, and he had a copy for each of us. I think he just wanted to relish in the fact that this map looks good for him. And he said, you know, the red is obviously us, and the red are the areas in the country that he won.
And in fact, I even colored in the map myself. And if you notice, I stayed within the lines, which everyone says is the hardest part. And I did it all in under 100 days, which...
Now, as troubling as all that is, Trump has also spent a lot of time lately praising authoritarian rulers with terrible human rights records. For example, he recently issued a statement congratulating Turkey's president for a referendum that gave him expansive new powers. And in interviews over the weekend, Trump praised North Korea's Kim Jong-un multiple times, calling him a pretty smart cookie and saying, if it would be appropriate for me to meet with him, I would be honored to do it. You'd be honored? He's very misunderstood. You'd like him. We should call him. I think it's this button. And Kim Jong-un wasn't the only authoritarian Trump praised this week. And on Saturday, he spoke with President Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines. Duterte has been accused of running death squads and has bragged that he has personally murdered people. Like when he said, quote, I will pick you up in a helicopter to Manila and I will throw you out on the way. I've done it before. Why would I not do it again? It's stories like that that earned Duterte the nickname United Airlines. Now, Duterte has since claimed he was joking. Nonetheless, despite his dismal human rights record, the White House issued a statement saying Trump and Duterte had a very friendly conversation and that President Trump invited President Duterte to the White House. So if you're a journalist covering the White House when Duterte visits and you hear Donald Trump say this...
Let's give them a helicopter ride, okay?
Run! So to recap, a president who's in over his head, is fighting with the media, reminiscing about his election night victory, inviting authoritarian rulers to the White House, and also maybe doesn't know why the Civil War happened. Donald, do you still stand by your claim that the presidency would be easy?
I don't stand by anything.
This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Amber Ruffin.
And I'm Jenny Hagel. Thank you so much for listening to the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast.
But just one more thing. If you could, please subscribe and rate our podcast.
And review it.
And review it. And then call us and tell us you like us in person. Thank you so much.
Our guest tonight is an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster and best-selling author. She hosts The Rachel Maddow Show weeknights at 9 on MSNBC. Please welcome back to the show our friend Rachel Maddow. You.
Spectacular.
It's so good to see you, and you have a show tonight, so thank you for making time. But I just saw you in the hallway right beforehand, and you were carrying paper with you because you are still working on the script for tonight's show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am a bad time manager, so, like, I'm writing stuff, like, in the bathroom.
But even if you were a good time manager, this administration sort of forces you to wait till the last minute, yes?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's true. It's actually, I don't know if you've noticed this in your show prep, too, but the rhythm of the news is different than it used to be. When you have an administration, like, obviously, if you do mostly news about politics, then the sun at the center of the solar system for the news is the administration, and they make the most news. But usually they make it on purpose.
Right.
Like, they decide that they would like to do a thing that we would probably like to cover. In this administration, it's not like that. Like, they can't do a thing they want to do.
Right.
And so instead, the news is not made by them, it's made about them. And it just comes up whenever any investigative reporter hits send.
Don't you think they try to set the news, and like at 11 o'clock in the morning, there'll be a regular administration.
Yeah.
But then something, like he'll do something that you get the sense that nobody around him expects. Like he'll be on the phone call with President Duterte from the Philippines. And he'll just go off book and say, you should come to the White House sometime.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's the news of the day.
Yeah. And then the State Department is like, we're not home. We're not home. We're not home. Yeah.
So, and I feel like, you know, breaking news has been probably overused to a degree, but there is breaking news all the time now.
It's weird. It is weird. I mean, I have always been a bad time manager, but I have never, ever gone on the air so frequently at 9 p.m. Eastern and said, within the last few minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's not usually when politics happens. I mean, people are supposed to, like, have dinner and go home and stuff, you know? But
they're not known for being, politicians are not known for being super hard workers. They like getting home too.
Right. I mean, because I'm on at 9 o'clock, I can't get most senators.
Yeah.
They're over 70. They've been in bed for 2.5 hours by the time I'm on the air. You know, but like, but now it's like everybody's up like this.
Yeah.
He said, what did you dare take? So yeah, it's weird. The whole rhythm of it is different. I feel like, you know, investigative reporters are becoming national heroes, are becoming household names. You know, the chairs of all the investigatory committees in Congress are now becoming famous people. Like, Adam Schiff is famous.
Yeah.
Adam Schiff looks like clip art. Like, you can't even, like, a year ago, you could not distinguish him from 40 other people in Congress. Now he, like, walks down the street and he can only make it 5 feet for all the high fives.
Yeah. You have not had Trump on your show. You did speak with him on the phone once. Yeah.
Have you ever talked to him on the phone?
I have talked to him. I've talked to him on the phone once.
How'd it go?
It was fine. It was perfectly nice. It was right before he announced, and he said on the phone to me, I'm going to make an announcement. It's going to be very big. And I was like, okay, whatever. Again,
doodle.
The amount that he has put me in my place over the last 2 years is innumerable. But, you know, perfectly nice person to talk to on the phone. Was your experience
nice? Yeah, well, I talked to him during the primary, so he was an announced candidate, and the campaign had said, you are going to get an interview. I mean, we want you to talk to him. He wants to have a preliminary conversation with you. It's very off the record. You can never say that the call happened. You cannot record it. You cannot talk about this call, but this call has to happen. And then we're going to give you the interview if the call goes well. And I was like, this is weird. But, okay, you know, you have to jump through hoops sometimes to get interviews. And then I had this conversation with him. It became clear that kind of the reason he maybe wanted to do an interview with me is because I'd sort of said that he had good chances against his Republican primary opponents. We kind of dished dirt on all the things he thought was wrong with all his Republican primary opponents. And I was like, okay, we'll just... And then at the end of it, and he was like, you know, so thanks very much for this call. And I said, well, I'd really like to have you on the show sometime. It's 9 o'clock. We're live. I'd love to have you here in the studio, or I'd come to you. And he said, well, you can use this. And I was like, this was not on TV. Like, there's no recording of this conversation. Yeah. What do you mean I can use this? Like, I can run backwards at the equator and make time go back and put a camera in here? Like, that was my interview, apparently.
And do you think there's a chance? Do you think you will get him one day?
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a chance,
know.
Though.
He loves cable news.
He
I'm
really
on cable
does.
News.
Yeah. And you're a name on it. And he doesn't. It doesn't strike me. It does seem like he goes back and forth. Sometimes I feel like he retreats into just doing Fox.
Yeah.
But he does, I feel, want to talk to everybody. I do think he wants to be loved and appreciated by everybody. So ultimately, he can't just stay there. He goes out and does a bunch of different interviews.
Well, and there is a tension about that, in all seriousness, in the administration, because there's never been a presidency and administration that was this overtly hostile to the press. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about, like, revising the First Amendment. The chief of staff this weekend was saying they're looking at those libel laws. What do you mean, looking at them? They don't look back. Like, we have a First Amendment. You can't change. They're looking at changing that stuff, and they put out their first campaign ad for 2020, which denounces the fake news.
Yeah.
And they're really against it, but at the same time, there's never been a president who is more addicted to the news about himself. And who's more responsive to the news that he supposedly thinks is so worthless. So it is a weird tension. I think it's a dangerous time for the First Amendment and for the free press in this country. And at the same time, we're oddly influential with the guy who wants to kill us.
Yeah. It's a weird dance. It's like one of those movies where the serial killer is also clearly in love with the person who's trying to arrest him.
So you're Clarice?
Yeah, Clarice,
yeah. You're Clarice.
The press is Clarice and he's Lecter. He's like... It's like a cat and mouse game, and like he's definitely gonna kill some other people, but maybe not me.
And he's age inappropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't figure out what she sees in him. And I know.
Tell me about the lambs. One of the things that's interesting, and I find it very strange, because there's obviously all these things he wants to do that I do not want him to be successful in, and he is not. He's had a lot of failures.
Yeah.
But you can't relax because he obviously is gonna keep trying. For example, healthcare, it seems like he does not understand the inner workings of what he is trying to even propose with healthcare.
He does not understand the most basic things about what he's trying to pass in terms of healthcare. So that's weird. I mean, it's weird. It's like the overall question is, are you comforted by his incompetence? Or Would you rather have a very competent, I mean, would you rather have a competent person trying to do bad things? Or would you rather have an incompetent person trying to do bad things?
Well,
it's like being stupid versus being ugly. Like, one of those can change. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could get better at it.
Right.
I'd rather change someone's intentions.
Because, like, I would say Senator Ted Cruz, for example, this is a man who knows exactly how the Senate works and exactly how Congress works. If he was, if he was the president, if he had the House and the Senate, you would have to assume someone like that would be far more effective than Trump has been.
Yeah.
So that is the weird thing, is some to some degree, his lack of knowledge about how D.C. has worked has been an advantage to people who would not have wanted him to get this position in the first place.
Yeah, at least thus far.
Right.
So I think there are a few big surprises about the Trump era. Number one is with the White House, with the Senate, and with the House, he can pass nothing. In 100 days, he passed no major legislation. And the only major legislation he is set to pass, now that we're past his 100 days, is this big spending bill, which has nothing in it that he wants and everything that the Democrats want.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? So their inability to get stuff done, even with unified control of government, that's weird. It's also been, I think, interesting and surprising to see the number of people out in the streets and new civic engagement, new people wanting to run, and that's been interesting. But the other part of it that has been weird is the way that he hasn't changed some of the most radical stuff from the campaign. Like the stuff about attacking the press. He's still saying, lock her up.
Yeah.
Like, we don't actually lock up our political opponents in this country. And we thought you were kind of kidding or doing it for effect when you're campaigning, but now you're president, and when you say lock her up, like I mean, we're not Uzbekistan. You know what I mean? So that stuff not changing since the campaign is, I think, surprising and worrying. And I am comforted by the fact that he can't do anything that he wants to do, but I'm worried that he'll figure it out.
We've talked about one side. Do you have any confidence right now with the future of the Democratic Party? Do you see... I feel like there's been a resist movement, and that has been the people that are out in the streets. How do you feel about the Democratic Party going forward? In the last 100 days, have you seen anything from them that makes you feel optimistic?
I feel like the Democratic Party needs to rediscover its inner water skier.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, Democratic Party, you're not the boat. You're the water skier, and the people are the boat. And let them tow you to where you need to be, because counting on the Democratic Party and its elected officials to sort of lead an election campaign against Trump, or to lead on policy stuff, or to lead people toward making democratic choices hasn't been working. But then you look at the largest demonstrations in U.S. history on the day after the inauguration. You look at the Tax Day March, you look at the Climate March, you look at the Science March, you look at all the indivisible groups and all the other activism around the country, and all these people who never thought of themselves as activists who are doing that now. And if the Democratic Party elected officials sit back and watch that and take their cues from those people, I think they'll be unstoppable.
I feel like you're right. And hopefully they will, but who knows?
Who knows?
Rachel Maddow, everybody. The Rachel Maddow Show airs weeknights at 9 a.m. with you.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.